Suns, now linebacker with the Seahawks. No word on a cause of death. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. In fact, this particular edition of the program is our Worldview Wednesday segment that we do now each and every Wednesday afternoon. It's sponsored by World Magazine, and I want to tell you right at the top of the program that you can go out to www.worldmag.org and find out all the information about registering for your copy of World Magazine. You don't really want to miss out on all of these stories and articles that they write in the magazine. There's some commentary. There's certainly some analysis of the news. There is articles that they write themselves with a lot of skilled writers that they have there on staff at World Magazine. And so you don't want to miss out on it. And actually, I'm happy to tell you that you can take advantage of a special offer. 74% off the cover price of World Magazine is what's being offered right now. And if you go out to my website, which is www.knowingthetruth.org, that's www.knowingthetruth.org, in the right-hand column, I have a logo there for World Magazine, and it says 74% off on it. If you click on that, that'll take you to the information about how you can start receiving World Magazine in your mailbox every other week, and you'll be up to date on a number of these stories. It also gives you access to certain areas of the World Mag website that are not available to those that are not subscribers of the magazine itself. And so that might be something that you want to be aware of. And so you can go out there and just click on that, and you'll find out the information that you need concerning how to register for your own copy of World Magazine. We're going to be speaking today, actually, with an author and a senior writer for World Magazine about one of the articles that she wrote. And I'm referring to Janie B. Cheney, author and senior writer for World Magazine. Janie has just written an article in World Magazine about the late historian and ideologue Howard Zinn, best known probably for his book A People's History of the United States, published in 1980. And in her article about Zinn, Janie B. Cheney questions his assumptions that the people, if not oppressed or by European and American imperialists, as Zinn would put it, will always seek justice and equality. And so she concludes that the mistake that Zinn makes and that other ideologues like him make is that they forget to take into consideration the idea of human nature. They leave that off in their consideration about their historical revisionism, or what I've termed here today in our blog as historical activism, looking at these historical stories, these historical events, and then kind of rewriting them from various perspectives. And that's what she writes about in this latest article out on World Mag. We're going to do some other things today as well, and I'll tell you more about that. But let's go to the phone line. I think we've got Janie on the line now. Janie, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today, and specifically about writing this article about it was Howard Zinn. Is that correct?
And that's correct, as far as I know.
Yeah. The late, I should say, the late historian and ideologue If you would you just summarize a little bit as to what you wrote about him, and specifically, I guess, relating as you do in this article, about one of his best-known works and what's been happening with that particular work?
Well, it was actually some developments in that particular work, and we'll may as well say what it is. It's his history. It's called A People's History of the United States, and he has followed that up with A Young People's History of the United States just fairly recently in the last few years that is intended for use in schools, of course.
Mm-hmm.
What first brought I was aware of the book, but what brought him to my attention lately was hearing about a television special that was going to be aired by the History Channel, or a television program called Voices of the People of the United States. And this program was going to be aired on the History Channel, as I said, and it was just an exposition of the book using first-person accounts. And these would be basically people who were disaffected, who came to America looking for opportunity. Maybe their expectations were too high. People who were oppressed by big business, big conglomerates, slaves, native peoples, and it was the object of the program was just to pull all those voices together. And many well-known Hollywood types participated. Matt Damon produced the program, and several people played the part of these various disaffected voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so that there was a study guide that went along with this. So this program was being promoted for use in the schools, and many of the educational experts and public school teachers, public school administrators who were involved with it are also Marxists. I mean, there's no other way to say it. People who are avowed Marxists or members of the Communist Party or whatever, and I'm not trying to red bait here, I hope you understand.
Right.
But there, people who were involved in this production had connections to Marxism and the Communist Party. And I'm thinking, okay, why are we promoting this in schools?
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of brought my attention. This occurred back in October, I think. I'm not sure. It was in the fall sometime when this program was aired. And that kind of put my antenna up. So when I read that Howard Zinn had passed away, which was the last week in January, I started doing a little more digging research about him. And that was the information that I used in World. So what the springboard for the article was just the whole idea of using his ideas in schools. And they have been used in colleges. And many universities have used his book for years.
Mm-hmm.
The book was first published in 1980, and it has been a staple of university classes ever since. But it's only fairly recently that it's been really promoted for high schools and even elementary schools.
You point out in the article that the book had kind of, as you put it in the article, respectable sales in the 1990s.
Yes.
But that through the mention of that book as part of the screenplay for Good Will Hunting, so
yes,
a lot of people would probably be somewhat familiar with that Oscar-winning screenplay,
right,
which, of course, had Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in there, that because of that mention, all of a sudden the sales of this particular book really started to climb up over a million copies by 2003.
Right.
And then was followed up with this companion book in 2004, Voices of the People's History, and now even a documentary. So it experienced some explosive growth there through the mention of some Hollywood types. Is that the...
Right, exactly. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were boyhood friends and they grew up in Howard Zinn's neighborhood. So mm-hmm. they've known him. They've known him for most of their lives mm-hmm. and admired him very much. So Good Will Hunting was a joint project of theirs, and it was a very successful movie, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a scene in the movie in which Matt Damon's character recommends the book very enthusiastically. So mm-hmm. over time, it's had kind of a snowball effect, I think.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to this and drill down a little bit in your article, a little bit more about Zinn and just his own background and a little bit more there. But and then I want to go into just the idea of this historical activism or revisionism
right.
as part of the overriding theme of, I think, where you were getting at in your article. But before we do, we've got to take a quick commercial break. It's just going to be 90 seconds or so, and then we'll be right back at it here. Let me tell our listeners, you can participate in our discussion today. Maybe you've read this particular book, or maybe you've noticed this type of historical revisionism or activism taking place in some of the classes that you have been exposed to. If so, we'd love to hear your comments or your questions today. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Be back in about 90 seconds.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Looking for a great way to learn more of God's Word? Do you wonder what the Bible says about specific life issues? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
If you're a follower of Christ who wants to study God's Word, Crossway Publishers offers a great resource. The ESV Study Bible was created to help people understand the Bible in a deeper way. It's the most comprehensive study Bible ever published, containing over 20,000 notes, 200 full-color maps and illustrations, and over 50 articles. It's also available online. The online study Bible offers some unique features, like the ability to manage your own notes and quick links to references. Check out the award-winning ESV Study Bible at esvstudybible.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're in a discussion right now with J.B. Cheney. You may know her that way rather than Janie B. Cheney, because that's the way that her name appears on her books. She's a well-known, well-loved children's author. A couple of her books are The Middle of Somewhere and The Playmaker. And you can check out all of her books and the other things that Janie has been involved in out on her website, and that website is www.jbcheney.com. That's www.jbcheney.com, and then you can read about her and about her books. A lot of homeschoolers like to use Janie's books, and so I recommend them too. You can go out and see about them out on her website there. She's also, though, a senior writer for World Magazine and writes a number of articles for World on a regular basis. And so we're talking with her today concerning an article that she wrote about a fellow by the name of Howard Zinn. Now, that name may be unfamiliar to you, but probably not what he's noted for. He's noted for kind of a historical revisionism, but a little bit different than you would normally think of historical revisionism, I think. More of a historical activism. In other words, telling the story, the historical facts about something like Columbus coming to America, but then telling it from the aspect of the Indians or from the, disenfranchised group of people. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that as long as you actually have some warrant for doing that. If you have some sources to look at, you know, some context to the story that's there, and you're not just telling your radical viewpoint of how you think the Indians related to the people that were coming, and you don't tell the story fairly. That's what the rub is with this. There's a great illustration associated with Janie's article out on World Magazine. It shows Howard Zinn standing at a blackboard type of thing with a picture of Columbus on there, a stick figure. And in one hand, Columbus has a cross, and in the other hand, he has a sword. Well, the only thing is that they've drawn devil's horns on Columbus as he's pointing there. And there's a group of four or five children sitting at his feet looking at him as he is recounting the story of Columbus. And so this is where the problem is, that he came out with this book that was originally written for grown-ups, if you would, to read about, his historical activism. But now this has been made into a PBS documentary. It's now been put into the school system. So this is where our guest today, J.B. Cheney, takes issue with what Howard Zinn has done and what they've done with some of his writing. So let's go back to our conversation with Janie about this subject. Janie, did I accurately portray, the rub of this story, the real issue that you're getting at?
Yes, and I'd like to compliment World's art department. They do an excellent job with illustrations.
They do.
And just, you mentioned that the figure of Columbus was a stick figure, and that needs to be kept in mind. This is a cartoon version of Columbus. There is nothing of the depth of the man, and he had his good side and his bad side like we all do. But there's no suggestion that there's any virtue in Columbus at all. He's strictly a devil.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you mentioned that this was a stick figure and animated. Supposedly, I think I read, in the end of your story here, that there's even a comic book version of the young people's history of the United States that's being produced. Is that correct?
That is correct. The graphic novel format, which will be available soon, I have seen panels from there's a graphic novel version, or maybe I shouldn't say graphic novel because it is supposedly biography, not fiction, but there's a cartoon version of Zinn's life that shows his early development and how he came to have the point of view that he did. And a very significant turning point in his life, I think he was only 17, and he attended a rally. It was a labor rally in New York Central Park. And some altercations broke out. It was not a peaceful rally, as it happened, and the police got involved and were probably laying about left and right. And I'm sure there was a real case of police brutality here, but Zinn was hit on the head, apparently by a police baton, and knocked unconscious for a undetermined period of time. And he says when he woke up, he was convinced that the American system was irredeemable.
Hmm.
So that's a pretty effective blow there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
At least and this is his version of events, so it might have actually taken a little bit longer to change his mind about things. And he was the son of immigrant parents, and I'm sure that they had to struggle, because most immigrants did when they first came to this country. They struggled, and their lives were not easy. But by and large, for most of their children were much better off in the United States than they would have been if they had stayed in their homeland, including especially people like Howard Zinn, who achieved a success and wealth and fame that he could not have dreamed of in his native land.
Which is the idea of the story, too, being told where he is beat during that that protest. And what he says afterwards, then, those supports that were not just reading in some sort of a radical agenda that he has or an American bias, these are from his own account.
Yes, these are his words.
That's right. So he is saying that he had this type of bias or prejudice against the United States and against the Western way of thinking. Is that correct?
Right, and the way he recounts it, it's almost like a Damascus Road experience, you know, getting hit on the head at a labor riot or a labor rally. Just a complete turnaround.
Now, people have critiqued, or critics have looked at his work before, and I mentioned this in the introduction, but and it pointed out that there was this lack of context or sourcing and footnoting. But he counters to that, that what's his objection when people bring those things up? What does he say about that there wasn't an objective history here?
Well, he has said... he has said that history is not really about understanding the past, but about changing the future. And that leaves the door wide open. You define history in terms of your goals, not in terms of what actually happened. You define history in terms of what your ideals are, so it becomes very subjective. And I believe he would say that his goals were noble to the extent where the end basically justified the means.
How often do you see this type of thing? You know, here he is. I think most people in our listening audience, let me preface it this way, would think, okay, I've got a history book. It's going to report to me the facts of what actually happened during these various events. And, you know, so I pretty much walk away knowing what happened during a certain period of time in American history. But you're saying, at least with him, that he is massaging those facts at the very least, certainly overemphasizing one aspect and leaving off other aspects. And in fact, in your article, you give the idea that one of the things that they completely overlook is just human nature in general. It's not brought into their thinking about historical events that took place. Is this pretty widespread?
I believe it is, especially in the so-called progressive mindset. Those who are eager to change society and Republican structures that have been existed since the founding of the country. They look at our history and see nothing but a record of oppression, and that is so one-sided, I can't even relate to it. I have a hard time understanding how people could even see that way. Because we do have, I mean, there is plenty in American history to be ashamed of. And the history of slavery and the record of some oppression and lies and duplicity in dealing with Native American peoples, and there is quite a list, but it must be balanced with the, I would say, the inarguable fact that the United States of America has offered refuge for more people than any nation in history. Political refuge, economic refuge, opportunity, individual value and worth. The record speaks for itself, but yet there are people who refuse to see it.
Yeah, well, I had Dinesh D'Souza on at one point quite a while back, but when he came out with the book, What's So Great About America, and we went through and just cataloged a number of, wonderful things about this country, about, sending out missionaries, about the amount of money that we have given to hurting nations around the world. Even our response right now to Haiti is still a good example of it. And yet, like you say, that many of these folks, and you mentioned the word progressive again, we keep hearing that word over and over
now.
Well,
I always put it in quotes.
Yeah. We keep hearing that word. We had Matt Spaulding on last week talking about the idea of what is progressivism and looked at that pretty closely. And, these are the folks that we're hearing this word in this particular administration again over and over. And so all of these pieces are starting to come together that we need this revisionism, if you will, in order to play down the importance of the Constitution, in order to kind of muddy the water a little bit about our founding fathers, and so that we don't take their thoughts and their words and structures of this country as seriously as we did before. So all seem to be coming together. We're going to run to the phone line very quickly here if we could, Janie. Mike is up on line 3. We're going to go to Mike. Mike, you got a question today?
Yeah, this is Mark.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah, listen, I just happened to just come in on a conversation about history and the way it's being taught. I don't know if you're talking about a particular author or a particular book.
We were talking about an author by the name of Howard Zinn, and he wrote a revisionist or an activist view of what he called the People's History of the United States. But go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I think that's it's really a dangerous thing when people want to rewrite history and not give it to us the way that it was.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the problems in the United States, the way that we teach history, we don't teach enough history.
Mm-hmm.
We're going on these social things and all these other things, but we need to go back and look at the founding fathers. A lot of people don't want to use that phrase. I know one writer said he mainly called them founding brothers because if you look at some of the things, he didn't want to say father and father, but he said founding brothers. And looking at how, they talked about freedom, they talked about these things, and you brought up something very interesting. Human nature being what it is, the mindset of that day that, they were coming out of a theocracy, looking at England and, how they looked at different people's groups. And so I think if we go back and we look at history and take the time to study it and to realize that, a person may have been a slave owner in this country and then look at the things that they have talked about, like, Thomas Jefferson is a, prime example. The way he talked about freedom. And then, would condone slavery or own slaves, but being trapped in that day, that time that he lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And there were very few people who were willing to take that step and say, I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to look at history and say, what would we do if we were back that, in that day?
That's right.
I think this is something that, we need to take our time and look at history and really study it and learn it.
Yeah, exactly what you're saying, Mark, is all we're asking for is an unvarnished view of history. We understand that human nature plays into this and that these are not perfect people. And that's all taken as a given, but we don't want it to be slanted and massaged and given to us with a certain activist angle to it from the right or the left. We want it just to be an unvarnished telling of the story, and then we'll make our conclusions from there. So,
I'm glad you mentioned that.
We're going to let you go, Mark, because it's a little noisy, okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm dropping a truck. I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll see you, Mark. Okay, go ahead, Janie.
About massaging from the right, because that does happen, too.
Sure.
This is a game anybody can play. The problem is that we have our preconceptions, and we, consciously or unconsciously, we want to make the facts fit those preconceptions. So we have to be aware of that in ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one problem, I totally agree with Mark. I think we should try to teach history as objectively as possible. It's impossible to teach it perfectly objectively. Mm-hmm. And one reason for that is there's just so much of it.
Right.
I mean, you can put your shovel in anywhere
mm-hmm.
and turn up more than you can handle on any given historical period.
Sure.
I do try to do this as a some of my novels that you mentioned are historical novels. So I make a real effort to get into that period as much as possible and reflect the attitudes of that time.
Right. But I think that, you know, because we're relying upon sources as well,
mm-hmm.
You know, there could be some taint of lack of objectivity of the part in that source. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, we obviously have that as a problem. But as much as lies within us,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're trying to tell the story as accurately as what it was without going all the way to the point of an activist view of it. And I think that that's really, I understand that, you know, all of it is going to be tainted in some way just from the retelling of the story and those types of things. So,
well, there's human nature again.
Exactly. We have to take that into consideration. But it's just, I remember in my own history classes and going through grammar school and that, I just remember offhand that there were I forget how many pages exactly in my history book about the Beatles compared to the amount of pages that dealt with George Washington in my, so, you know, just by the amount that you cover a certain subject, that can shape the way that you look at history as well. So
right.
It's so important that, you know, I think when we're talking about grammar school education, that parents get involved and they make sure that their children are aware of, you know, the key points of history. I think I quoted it the other day when Matt Spaulding was on, but I think the quote comes from the infamous Karl Marx, who said, if you separate a people from their heritage, they're easily swayed.
That is so true.
And we see a systematic separation from mm-hmm. our American heritage here in this country taking place, and I think we need to take steps to do something about it. We need to run back to the phone lines. Ron has been patiently waiting there on line two. Ron, welcome into the program today.
Hello. Yeah, we seem to think by emotion. I think we see that happening today. The 9/11 report explicitly says that the reason why things like these terrorist attacks, specifically mentioning 9/11, is because the American occupation in Islamic lands. It was right there. But yet when Ron Paul blasted that out during the presidential debate, Rudy Giuliani, who should have was part of that and should have known it, refutes it. So we've got this problem of a patriotic deception going on. We've got all sorts of these influences that want to puff up America as if though it's some kind of a great nation, when in reality it's really not all that good of a place. Now, how should a Christian attempt to be objective in the process, knowing that these biases are coming across often by Christian politicians, at least they claim to be Christian, and really plain emotion. There's no factual thinking anymore in this country.
Right. Well, I think, Ron, you know, we need to, not just for balance sake, but really take a balanced look at the issues. You know, these people that everything is America is evil and there's nothing good in America, they have a very myopic view of the United States. They're not telling the whole story. As we mentioned, you know, we can prove through what America has done. What was the Frenchman who came over? I think it was the Frenchman who came over and said America is great because America is good.
Tocqueville.
We have done so much good that we've got to take that into consideration, but again, not a not an over view of, you know, we realize that men at their best, they're still men at best. There have been a lot of mistakes that have been made, and we can acknowledge that and try to work to correct those things. But it is still, and again, comparatively to any other country upon the face of the earth, it has been a tremendous blessing to the people of this country and to the people of the country of the world as well. And we can't lose sight of that.
I would like to, if I could, hear, there's an article online that I think is very helpful on the National Review website. Mm-hmm. That would be nationalreview.com. The article is by Richard Lowry and Ramesh Panuru, and the title is An Exceptional Debate. And they're just talking about what we this phrase we hear more and more often lately, American exceptionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be careful about this. As Christians, our citizenship is heaven. America can never be heaven. America is not the promised land, and it's not God's favored nation. However, I think we can say that God has blessed America, and America has a specific role in world history that is really not like any other. And that's what Panuru and Lowry point out.
That's an excellent point. Ron?
Well, what concerns me is, America has done a lot of great things only because of the influence of the church by the regeneration power of the Holy Spirit working through God's people in this land. The danger, I think, is we grab a hold of that bias as if though it's still here, when in reality, if we start to take a close look at what's going on, a lot of Christians would be standing forcefully against both the main parties, Republican or Democrat. They're both seriously unprincipled.
Sure.
So, I think we've got to be very careful in our view of history as to not distort it one way or another.
Right.
And what's come across on the show has been very excellent. And that's one of the reasons why I was interested in what this lady had to say.
Okay.
Because, American is definitely not God's favorite state. There's only one church, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's no longer confined to any geographical boundaries.
Exactly.
I think we've got to keep that perspective so that we can be more alert and discerning as to what's going on in our society and not be duped and deceived by these politicians, some of whom claim to be Christians, and maybe are, but themselves are deceived.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, Ron, thank you very much for that comment. Janie, I didn't get to hear your comment there. Would you repeat it, please?
Oh, the church is not the nation, and
right.
We've got to be careful about confusing the two.
Yeah.
God established the church, the family, and the government.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all established by God, and they all have their spheres and their tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're overstepping each other all the time.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about sphere creep, that the authority within those various spheres creeps into other areas. We're witnessing this daily. If you just turn on your news, we're seeing, takeover of the government in a number of different areas in society that is alarming, as to what's taking place. And so that's certainly a problem. I totally agree with what Ron was mentioning, as long as we understand it the right way, this type of God and country approach to things where, America can do no wrong, or that, like you've talked about, some sort of a utopian society that we're trying to build here upon the face of the earth. Well, all of that is outside the proper thinking of a Christian. We have a dual citizenship. Our citizenship is here and is in heaven as well. And we serve King Jesus first and foremost.
Right.
But I think that we can't go to the point of then being so disparaging of this country that we don't acknowledge all of those benefits and blessings, as you started to articulate, that God had given to us. So I think that's very important.
Yes, exactly. We can go to the point of despising our country, and that's going too far.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things wrong. The system... The system has a lot of problems, and Washington has become so overburdened and so bureaucratic and so just so too much, so intrusive. And there's no doubt about that. But there's always a possibility that things could get a little better. maybe a little. I'm not too optimistic. But in the meantime, we still have benefits and blessings that other nations don't have.
That's right. A tremendous amount. And anybody who has been or lived anywhere else, I know I went to just a mission trip to Peru, and where I forget exactly how long we were there, maybe 10 days or 2 weeks at the very most. But I came back, I felt like kissing the tarmac when I got off the plane.
Right. I have had that experience as well.
And that was just from the sheer convenience blessings that we enjoy in this country, not to mention the freedom and the the other aspects that we have that are just wonderful blessings we take for
granted. Right. But the conveniences and the good roads, the infrastructure are all benefits of that system.
Yes.
They all grew out of that system. I came back from Jamaica. I was visiting my son who was living there. I was there for 10 days, and I was not spending time in the resorts. I was spending time, you know, in pretty much experiencing Jamaican life. And when I got back, I enjoyed myself, but when I got back, I thought, oh, I love my car.
Yes.
I love these roads.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said, these grow out of, we're living off of the some of the blessing of former days,
yes.
I think. And the blessings were so great that even though the country has gone south and away from God in so many different ways, the blessings were so great that we still are able to enjoy many of the benefits of those blessings. And, you know, obviously what we fear and what we want is for revival and reformation to take place in our country and people to come back to the Lord. And I hope that that happens. I hope that it is not too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we're not saying by enjoying those blessings that this is a perfect country by any stretch of the imagination. Janie, we've got to take our next break. I don't know, are you able to stay for a few more minutes, or do you need to go? And I had originally told you a half an hour. We've been with you for 45 minutes. So let me let you go, and then when we come back from the break, I got a few more announcement-type things I've got to do anyways. But, Janie, thank you very much for visiting with us on the program.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for writing this article. We appreciate the fine work there, the folks at World Magazine. So thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Okay.
My pleasure.
All righty. We're going to go ahead and take our last commercial break here, and then when we come back from the break, I've got just a couple announcements about some various things that you may be interested in, some other articles that are out there in World Magazine and some that are in some other places as well, but just want to make sure you're aware of them, and we'll switch gears here just slightly and talk about those things in just a few moments. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Remember, you can participate in the conversation today, 1-888-660-WLFJ. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Up early in the morning, we hope you'll join us for Christian Worldview Today.
Knowing full well that what they're doing is in violation of the Constitution, they'll go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
That's what these groups do. They're not about free speech. They are actually trying to recreate a new America in their own secular humanist self-image as opposed to the image that our founders envisioned.
Join Dr. Tony Beam and his guests weekday mornings 7 to 9 on Christian Talk 660.
Looking for a great way to learn more of God's Word? Do you wonder what the Bible says about specific life issues? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
In a world of almost constant medical and scientific advances, everyone will likely face a difficult ethical decision at some point. Crossway has published a new book by Dr. David Van Drunen called Bioethics and the Christian Life, a guide to making difficult decisions. It's a book that puts bioethical dilemmas in the context of a broader godly perspective. It addresses specific controversial issues like contraception, assisted reproduction, and euthanasia, and Christians will find it to be helpful and theologically sound.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. I want to let you know about a couple of items that you may be interested in. One, we're going to go ahead in just a moment here and listen to a feature that is produced by Nick Eicher, the publisher for World Magazine. Nick does a program called In the News every day, Monday through Friday. It's heard out on Bot Radio, and he does that on a regular basis and just produces a short little news piece, very well done, and I like to play those very often during our Wednesday Worldview segments, sponsored by World Magazine segments here on the program. So we're going to do that in just a second. But before we do, I wanted to mention to you that a related article, maybe to what our discussion was today with Janie Cheney about her article about historical revisionism or historical activism, if you will, related to that. Scott Lamb, who writes for World Mag Blog out on worldmag.com, he had a post out here from today, 9 o'clock this morning it came out, but it was entitled The Death of American Optimism. And he is commenting and blogging about an article that appeared in the Spectre magazine, and it was entitled America the Miserable. And so the author of that article that appeared in the Spectre, he went on to say that, you know, he felt that optimism, this exuberant optimism and a can-do spirit that has always been associated with America, has waned. And he talks about the number of reasons why it waned. And it's just an interesting post out there. And there's a number of people that have already commented on it. I see 18 comments here right now. But the death of American optimism, I think it relates somewhat to our conversation the other day about the lack of biblical teaching that there is in America today. People don't know the scriptures. They're not applying the scriptures. And so, therefore, there is a lot of pessimism that we find in our country today. And there is a lot of, lack of a can-do spirit when you get away from God, the things of God and God's word, like so many in the country have done. And so I think that would be my comment on his particular post out there. But you may find it interesting to read, so I just want to make mention of that. I'm going to tell you about a couple upcoming events, who's going to be on the program tomorrow and so forth in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and listen to Nick Eicher's In the News as it's reported by him on World Mag Podcast. Here we go.
This is news from World Magazine. I'm Nick Eicher. The White House downplaying Obamacare 2.0. The spokesman says it's merely an opening bid for a health care legislation summit with Republicans scheduled for the day after tomorrow. President Obama's bid is his first specific proposal since he outlined a larger government role in health care funding and insurance. Previous efforts have been left to Congress. The Obama prescription posted on the White House website late Monday morning. Among its most controversial provisions, the White House plan gives Washington the power to regulate health insurance, much as it would a public utility. A cabinet-level agency would have the final say over premium rates. It would also require Americans to purchase health insurance. That's been a key feature of congressional proposals so far. On abortion, the proposal does not include pro-life protections against taxpayer funding for abortions. The pro-life Susan B. Anthony list was first to begin marshaling opposition to the new Obama proposal. A White House spokesman says the president comes to the Thursday meeting with an open mind. Leading Republicans say the particulars of the health plan indicate the exact opposite. 1 week ago yesterday, Democrats found out they were losing another member of their caucus. A popular Democrat said he's leaving his post from the traditionally Republican state of Indiana. World Magazine's Washington correspondent Emily Bells introduces one Democrat who plans to stand for Senator Evan Bayh's seat this fall.
Now Congressman Brad Ellsworth, a conservative Democrat, has said he will run for the seat. Ellsworth stands further to the right of Bayh. He is pro-life and opposes gun control. He voted against an earlier version of President Obama's stimulus, but voted for the final measure. A Republican is still expected to win the historically red state. Right now, former Senator Dan Coats leads the GOP field. From Washington, this is Emily Bells.
Your next credit card statement, if you get one, may surprise you. It will contain new information the U.S. government now requires. That's because a new law takes effect this week requiring credit card issuers to be more transparent about the costs of credit. The law was also supposed to shield card users from sudden interest rate hikes and fees. But in the 9 months between the time the law was signed and the time it took effect, interest rates were increased, credit lines cut, new annual fees introduced, and millions of accounts closed. This is news from World Magazine.
Well, that was the In the News segment that is produced by Nick Eicher there at World Magazine, the publicist for World. And so I'd just like to give you some exposure to that so that you understand the types of things that they're doing in bringing the news. I think it's very well done. And that was actually the one from yesterday that I had a copy that I went ahead and downloaded a copy of it. You can hear the one for today out at worldmag.com. Also, I wanted to let you know about tomorrow's broadcast. Make sure you're aware of it and understand some of the subjects that we'll be talking about. In the blog post that I posted out on sermonaudio.com for the program tomorrow, I wrote this or copied portions of this off of the publisher's website. But it says that since the beginning of humanity, the question of suffering, why it happens and how God works in it has existed. What are you doing, God? Why is this happening? Where are you? These questions fill our thoughts when we experience deep pain and tragedy. Having lost two young children who suffered from a rare and incurable disease, editor Nancy Guthrie has put together this helpful collection of short readings exploring the question of suffering. This anthology includes essays from both classic and contemporary theologians, Bible teachers, and missionaries such as John Calvin and Charles Spurgeon, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and John Piper, Corrie ten Boom, Johnny Erickson Tata, just to name a few. Each entry expounds a biblical verse, leading the reader to see and to be comforted by God's perspective, His purpose, and His provision in suffering. So on the program tomorrow, my special guest will be Nancy Guthrie. I've interviewed Nancy about a number of her books before, and I think that this book is probably the best one yet. Just an excellent study in the subject of suffering and why God allows or brings suffering into the life of people. What are the purposes for this? And so we'll be looking and talking about this on the radio program tomorrow. I also want to let you know about a couple upcoming broadcasts. Greg Kokel is going to be with me on the 4th of March to speak about relativism. And just yesterday, I secured and confirmed an interview also with Christian Smith, the author of Soul Search, or Soul Searching. You may remember that came out a number of years ago. That's that book that had concluded that many of the young people in our churches today have adopted something called moralistic therapeutic deism. This is what they believe about God, that moralism, that it makes them feel good as a person. You know, they want to do what is good, very moral approach to serving God. The idea of therapeutic, that it makes them feel good. The third thing is deism, meaning that they acknowledge that that there is somebody up there, that a God exists, there is a higher power, but they're not really sure of the particulars of this God that is there. And these are church kids that believe this. So we're going to talk with Christian Smith about his book, Soul Search. And he actually has a new book out that we're really going to focus on, but it's called Souls in Transition. And so on March 2nd, Christian Smith will be here with me or be on the line with me. And then later on, Josh Harris will be with me. And of course, you remember Josh from his book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, and other books that he's published. Well, he's written another one now called Dug Down Deep, and we're going to be talking with Josh Harris about that book. Got many other guests lined up. And so that you won't miss some of these important interviews. Hey, I just noticed the other day on the website, yesterday, I watched the counter on the website go to 2 million page views on our website. So the 2 millionth person has gone out and read the blogs and looked at the material on the website. We're thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for that. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.